Turn to 1 Timothy. We are going to hear some more instructions from our Apostle Paul. We heard some this morning in Sunday school lessons, and so some more instruction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As given him by the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 1, Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Our Apostle Paul is the chief apostle of this church age, and he gives this exhortation unto us. He's the chief apostle because he was sovereignly called of God and given the revelation of the gospel of grace for this age. And Paul says in Romans, the second chapter, in the 16th verse, he says, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so this exhortation that we're reading, he's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, who will be the direct successor to Paul. It had already, the Holy Spirit had already made this known. We won't read the scripture concerning that. But may we, you know, as successors of Paul's message that we have received, consider these words closely and very deeply to our hearts. He says, I exhort. There seems to be some authority there, don't you think? Praise the Lord. And the exhortation is to pray for all men. Let us not be confined in our prayer life to just close family and friends and maybe people that we like. But the exhortation is to embrace all men around the world, all colors of men in all nations. The Greek words here that are translated supplications, prayers, and intercessions, we will say a few words about what that means. Supplications, first of all, supposes a great need that would move us to strive with God on man's behalf, and especially men who are dead in sin, the unbelievers. For they're blind, they're deaf, they're helpless, they're overpowered by Satan. And of course, we also pray for the believers. We have a blessed hope as believers, do we not? We have a blessed hope. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, and we want to be found in peace. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's what we read in the words of God. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, it says, for God is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long suffering, not willing that any man should perish. Any man, but that all should come unto repentance. We're going to read this word all quite a bit in the what the Lord has given me to give forth. He would that all come unto repentance. And of course, we appreciate our brothers and sisters in the faith that sometimes they're in great need. Supplication. They need some of our supplication. I received an email just the other day, just this last week, an urgent prayer request, an urgent prayer request from Rajat Pani. He is a minister in India who has been on our mailing list for years, and he sends emails and to us, and he had an urgent prayer request. And he says, pray for the Christian workers there in that area of India especially. An associate minister of that he knew was severely beaten by unknown men. And he said, it's election time there. And he said, that means it's a very dangerous time. He said, incidents such as this, they're planned to intimidate the people and to keep them in line under a Hindu rule. And so I prayed. It was an urgent prayer request for their safety during this very dangerous time. The second word that it says here besides supplication, it says prayers. And it's used here in the sense of worship. And of course, we are interested in sinners that they be saved for Jesus' sake and for God's glory. So in our worship, we are occupied with our Savior and his compassion and his love for mankind, that we pray for all men everywhere. And you know, this gives us mighty leverage for our supplications. The third word is intercessions, and it means alighting upon, a meeting with, a conversation with, an intercession for. You know, the Good Samaritan, when he came across that helpless victim in dire need, he was provoked to intercession and intervention on the behalf of that helpless victim. Well, such is our experience when we know of ones that are in need of our intercession, to pray for them. And then we have these added words here. It says, the giving of thanks. Of course, that springs from grace. And what does provoke gratitude? It's favor received. And in our supplication, in our intercession, we burst forth in praise to God for his grace and for his love to us, that he redeemed us. John, the 4th chapter, verse 19 says, well, that's 1 John. I don't know whether I said 1 John or not. We love him because he first loved us. Thank God for such a wonderful salvation that is ours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our supplications, our prayers, our intercessions, and giving of thanks is to be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings, for even kings, and for all, see that word all again, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yes, we're certainly living in uncertain times, are we not? Yes. But we pray. Instead of being upset, instead of being fearful, instead of just being confused, praise the Lord, we pray. We pray for all that is in authority. I think that's kind of hard. I find it kind of hard. I don't know about you, but that's what we're admonished to do, to pray for all that are in authority. For the powers that be are ordained of God. Romans 13, verse 1 tells us that. What comes about may not be according to our thinking, it may not be according to our liking, but God sets up who he will. His purposes will be fulfilled. Yes, he will perform his will. God does not expect of you and I to take part in political affairs. It's a dirty business. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. We're only pilgrims and strangers here. The book of it'll come to me. Sometimes it takes me a little while. Hebrews, yes, strangers and pilgrims. But we are to pray for those God has put in power, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When we do God's will, and he asks us to pray for all men, God is pleased. He is pleased. We could sum up verse 2 here and verse 3, that in heeding this exhortation of praying for all men, we're blessed. And we're blessed with peace in our daily life. And God is glorified. And you know, also, people read our lives. And when they read our lives, they judge God by our conduct. We can let Christ live out his purpose, his pure and powerful and unassuming life through us. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We can let him live through us as we yield unto the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, who will have all men, here we have that word all again, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is God's will for all men to be saved. He died for all, did he not? Yes, he died for all. And it certainly is false teaching that some people are said by certain ones who are false teachers, that some people are ordained to be saved and that others are predestinated to be damned. To preach such a damnable doctrine, it tells me they don't read the scripture very much at all. They must just pick out something here and there that suits them. But the Holy Spirit convicts all men of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And it is that they may be saved by believing upon Jesus. And Jesus' words, he plainly said in John the 6th chapter and verse 47, whosoever believeth shall have eternal life. I don't see any maybes there either, do you? Shall have eternal life. So we pray for all men. Men we don't know in other nations and in this nation. God's will is that all come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth is come, his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. I was impressed again, that word all. He will guide you into all truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Sin, of course, set a great, impassable gulf between the Creator and his creatures. But Jesus came to bridge that gulf and to bring God and man together. He gave himself, what does it say here? He gave himself a ransom for all. Praise the Lord. The entire human race was sold under sin, but Christ has paid the entire debt by his atoning death on Calvary. He died for all. He tasted death for every man, we read. So we should supplicate, we should pray, we should intercede for our fellow men. They have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, so that everyone who wills may obtain free pardon and be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Doesn't it cause just thanksgiving to well up into our hearts when we think upon what God has done for us? Hallelujah. Verse 7, Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or in truth, yes. Paul was ordained to preach the gospel of grace to sinners, and he was quite a missionary. He went at least on 3 missionary journeys, and he traveled when it wasn't comfortable in traveling in those days. And he was also ordained of God to be an apostolic overseer over the church, our Apostle Paul. And a teacher to the Gentiles, or saints everywhere. The Gentiles, saints everywhere, praise the Lord. Well, we can't leave out the scripture. It says to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. He earnestly desired of Timothy, his son in the faith, that would carry on when the Lord called him home, that he would carry on in this threefold office with the same untiring spirit that Paul had done. You know, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's a wonderful example unto us, and we heard about how his sufferings in Sunday school this morning, how he suffered to bring forth this gospel of grace. And then Timothy, not only would it be handed over to Timothy, but then Timothy would hand it over unto others, even down to you and I. And, you know, also another thing, you know, sometimes ones just are concerned about getting one saved, and then they don't teach them to that they might become grounded. But Paul, he did not get men saved and then just leave them to themselves to struggle and do the best that they could. No, he always sought to build them up in the truth. All you have to do is read his epistles. And so he was not only a missionary, He established churches in those places, and he stayed at some places. He stayed days, and sometimes he stayed longer. One place, I think it says he stayed 3 years. Well, let's go on, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. So we know who he's speaking to. Sinners don't have holy lands. He's speaking to the believers. He will that the believers everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Yes. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. We might just hear the first part of that sometimes, but it says to always pray and not faint. Of course, holy hands infers a godly walk behind the prayers. And pray without wrath toward men, and without doubting and reasoning, which is the sin of unbelief. We might think, well, there's some that, oh, they're just a lost cause. No use praying for them. Well, that would please Satan, wouldn't it? But it would not please God. We are to pray for all men. And James 5:14, as I'll close with that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song.